Charlie, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Hey, guys. Hey, everybody out there. Woohoo!
How long have you been doing stand-up?
I started doing stand-up in 2003.
What got you into doing that?
Well, I just finished college, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was actually finishing my last summer of school in Kansas, and I was watching Last Comic Standing, the very first season, and I hurt my knee from playing volleyball, so I was just sitting there watching that show, and I think that's what kind of helped get that idea in my head that maybe I should be a stand-up comedian, because this psychic lady told me I was supposed to be a comedian when I was 18 or 19 years old, and I forgot about it, but just watching that TV show, I was like, well, you know, I'm finishing school, so maybe it's time to do this.
What's it like for you?
It's all right. It's starting to pay off now. I'm just all the time and effort and energy I put into it. We're doing it for 6 years. I'm starting to make decent money. Made a little name for myself. My writing's gotten better. My stage performance has tightened up a lot. So it's turned out great, actually.
What other comedians have inspired you?
The very first comedian that did it for me was Eddie Murphy. My mom and her boyfriend, they took me and my brother to go see Eddie Murphy Raw when that came out in the movie theaters. I think that was in 1986. And I just remember laughing so hard. He was just so funny. I just remember his Michael Jackson impressions and his Mr. T impression, and it was just hilarious. After that, nobody did it for me for a while. Then Sam Kinison came along, and I really liked his stuff. And then after that, I mean, I tried to watch comedy. Just nobody did it for me. Then Margaret Cho came along around in like 91 or 92. She was around, but I started seeing more of her. And, you know, I just gravitated toward her and those other guys. So
she's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, she's funny.
and not just funny. She, you know, she really points to things in a way that make you think.
Yeah. She's got, from what I hear from other people, she's gotten really messagey. And some people, I think that's a good thing, because you know, she brings light to opinions and points of view that people generally don't care about or they haven't heard about. So I like what she does. I like her work a lot.
How do you see comedy in the broader scheme of life, in terms of, you know, I mean, everyone's here to make their contribution. How do you see this kind of work as part of that?
In the grand scheme of things, I thought about that for a little while, and hopefully what I can do, it's basically along the same lines as what those other guys are doing, and, you know, just bring my own point of view and my opinion to the masses, because frankly, there's really nobody out there doing what I'm doing, and that's the whole gay Native American thing, and, you know, I represent a pretty good, I wouldn't say like, you know, like 75% of the population. But, you know, I represent a group who's been unrepresented for a long time. And the only time you hear about, you know, Native peoples is around Thanksgiving, or, you know, if you're watching a Western and there's an Indian riding by on a horse and he gets shot, or, you know, I just want people to know that we're more than from what they read in their history books. And, you know, we're contemporary people. We change. We're part of so many different types of occupations out there. So, if anything, I'm hoping I could just be a voice, say what I have to say, and in my line of work, just be funny, have something funny to say. I thought when I started, I thought I would inspire several gay Native American people to step up and start doing stand-up. And as it turns out, I've inspired a lot of straight heterosexual Native Americans to start doing stand-up, and that's cool. So whoever decides to get on the boat, you know, they're more than happy to, you know, help them out or do what I can to, you know, move along in this thing called stand-up comedy. It's great being known as, you know, the gay Native American comedian, but that was also a ploy on my part. I mean, I didn't come into this thinking that I was going to be, you know, the big gay Native American comedian, and that just happens to be who I am. So more than anything, I hope people don't pigeonhole me to being one-dimensional or just having a certain expectation when they come and see me.
Well, your jokes aren't all about being gay or all about being Native American, although you mix them together and both are obviously present. But
I think that's how I've been changing. If anything, that's been my hook. That was my hook to draw people, and it was a gimmick. When I started out, I just was talking about whatever, and I knew there was a time where I wanted to start talking about my background, and I didn't know that was going to be that's what people were going to know me for. And even though those jokes that you hear on YouTube or wherever else, the smallpox joke and the circular joke, I love those jokes, but it took me a long time just to stop saying them because they were very much part of me. And I'm like, all right, you guys, you know, that was great for during that time period, but, you know, I'm like a growing and changing person like everybody else, so I can't really do the new stuff if everybody keeps expecting me to be this, I don't know, I don't want to say, like, you know, a mascot, but, you know, like I said, this gimmick comedian. And I mean, there's more to my show than that.
Where are you performing next?
Last week we just came back from Idaho. We did some shows in Pocatello, Idaho for Idaho State, and we did a show at a gay bar in town called Club Charlie's. And actually I was there in that same town a month before for a casino show at Fort Hall Casino. So they heard about me, and I talked to some of the local people, and they wanted to bring me back in. So we worked out a deal, and actually we had a great time. I can't really tell, you know, because people, I don't know from down here, but they have their assumptions, especially if you live in a city, you know, what mid-America people are like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people who live out in the country get a bad rap for, you know, being homophobic or being... Can I say this on your show?
You can say whatever you want. If you swear, I'll probably edit it out, but...
Okay. Cowpokers. Yeah. And I don't mean that in a good way.
I can leave that in, I think.
Yeah, that's okay. And, you know, when we went there, when we went to Pocatello, and I told them, I said, well, the vibe that I got from Club Charlie's, it draws a mixed audience. It wasn't all gay. It was like a lot of straight people and a lot of, you know, a little bit gays. And really, for that bar to survive in Pocatello, they know that they have to cater to the broader market. And how that translated for our show, we just had a great mixed audience, so it wasn't so one-sided. And that's what made it great. And I actually felt a little jealous because, you know, what they have there in that little town is what everyone should have in the world, really. You know, it's just a place where everyone can go and get along and have a good time. And if you come to the big city, you know, everything's pretty much ghettoized. It's all one particular people in one place and one social group. And, I mean, it's great. I live here in the Bay Area. There's a lot of diversity, but the opposite to that is all the diversity is segregated to their own groups. And I just thought that was the perfect place because, you know, just everyone, they had good vibes about them. They knew where they were going. Nobody felt intimidated or scared. And, you know, everybody was really respectful to each other.
Something is lost in the big city that can exist in a smaller community.
Yeah, I really hate to say that, but yeah, I mean, I do. Just the people were so friendly. I couldn't get over that. And I have a bunch of friends out there, and I've lived in a small town atmosphere, and you know, I really do like that closeness. Do you want to talk to my mom real quick?
Sure.
Do you have any? Okay. For everybody listening, this is my mom. This is very, very somebody important in my life who's supported my stand-up comedy career since I started 6 years ago. So you feel free to ask her any kind of question you want. So here she is. Here's my mom, Beulah.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I just walked in the door. Gosh.
So you got any good funny stories about Charlie?
Good funny stories. Gosh.
What's the silliest thing you remember him doing as a child?
Oh, he's always had funny things. I mean, he's always did funny things. I know even when he was like 2 or 3 years old, he, you know, the whole thing about saying tomato, tomato, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
It's sort of saying... one tomato, two tomatoes, you say one tomato, or was it, how was that? What did you say, one tomato, two tomatoes? I don't know. Just crazy stuff. And he was, what else kind of things. I think we used to be a family that bowled. And then I think Charlie started bowling probably when he was 8 or 9 years old. But he would just kind of have a good time out there. He could always kind of emulate or demonstrate how other people bowled and make it funny. I mean, you know, he would just know the way he, his motions and his facial expressions, we just copying that kind of stuff. He's always been able to make people laugh. You know,
he was a funny kid.
Just funny. He had a great sense of humor. Yeah. Did Charlie tell you, did he talk about his older brother at all and his disability?
No.
He has an older brother, and he's been living with schizophrenia for 10 or 15 years now. He sort of uses that when he can, if he can come up with some material in his act. Joe's, I mean, his older brother is really funny, too. I mean, it comes off as just being sort of sharp sometimes, but to me it's funny. You know, he rides the buses out here, and you know, people come up to us and say, what tribe are you? What nation are you? And, you know, we know what they mean.
Yep.
So, and Joe, when he'll come up to somebody that's not Indian, he'll say, well, what kind of white person are you?
I think that's great.
And they were, some were offended, but I said, are you just, you know, just asking a question? I guess you could have. Said, what kind of European are you? But he was very blunt. So what kind of white person are you?
Well, I think that's
and,
great.
You know, when he told me about that, I knew what he meant, but I guess they felt a little bit offended, maybe. Well, it was nice talking to you, and
nice
I look forward to
you
reading
too.
your program. Okay, great. Well, I'll let Charlie back online. It was
all
nice
right.
talking to you.
Nice talking okay. to you, too. Thanks.
All right.
All right.
I think your listeners just got a great treat.
They did. Yes,
you did. My mom is nutty. She's goofy. She's definitely from my mom's side of the family is where we get our humor. What I've been able to do for the past couple of years, it's just been a real treat. Just, if anything, I've, you know, been able to put a lot of smiles on a lot of people's faces. I've made a lot of people laugh. And the reward just from doing that itself, it doesn't get any better. I mean, it's more than money. It's more than any physical, material thing that you could possibly hope to have or imagine. It's just a very grateful and reward feeling, you know, being able to put smiles on people's faces, make them laugh. There's this one guy at a show a couple of years ago, and I was just doing my thing, and I just remember, you know, he was just laughing and having a good time in the front row, and then his daughter came up to me afterwards, and she said, you know what, you know, I've never seen my dad laugh like that ever, and to me, he just looked like somebody else in the audience who was just laughing and having a good time. So that made me feel really good.
That is so, very cool.
Yeah. So there's been a couple times like that. And so I must be doing something right.
Well, Charlie, I wanted to say thanks again.
Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.